Good morning, church. It is lovely to be with you again this morning. I want to do something a little bit different today, whereas normally we follow a series, and don't worry, we'll be getting back to one very soon. But today, I want to share something that God has been kind of laying on my heart, something he's been working through with me for the last few months. And so if it's just for me, then I apologize for the next 20 minutes, but I'm hoping that there's something for all of us to kind of engage with, to grapple with, to be encouraged and excited about as we open the scriptures today. So let's just pray before we begin. Father, we thank you that you speak. We thank you that you speak through your amazing living word. We thank you that you speak through your compelling spirit, and you even speak through each other. But Lord, this morning we ask, please, would you open our ears to hear your voice, not mine, but yours. Lord, anything of you, we pray, would stick in our minds, stick in our hearts, and change us from the inside out. But anything not of you, Lord, let it fall by the wayside. Lord, we want you to take center stage this morning. We want to hear from you. Speak to us, Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to do something, as I say, a little bit different this morning. And do you know, I'm here today in the church as per usual, and Steve is up at the back doing the technicals. It's just the two of us and we're keeping distant, so don't worry. But you know, I really wanted this morning to have some congregation participation. That's what I'm really missing when I'm preaching, is having you guys actually here. So I've got a question that I want you to answer that's hopefully going to kind of give us a little bit of a disclaimer, a little bit of help as we approach the topic we're looking at today. Now, I'm going to ask a question, all right? Now, my worry was nobody would know the answer. However, because God is awesome, I'm fairly certain the question I'm going to ask this morning, Steve will know the answer to, so he can shout it out. But feel free to shout it out at home. But these two words are hopefully going to give us a bit of a platform from where to jump off today. So the question is this, a little bit of pop culture quizzing for you. What two words are written on the front of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Don't panic.
Hey, Steve. Don't panic. Don't panic. Okay, I want you to remember those words as I introduce what we're talking about today. Because when I shared what God had been laying on my heart at a ministry team meeting recently, and that I wanted to perhaps share this with you guys, Tony nearly fell off his chair. So remember those words. Don't panic. Because today what I want to look at is the biblical kind of concept, the biblical moments of apocalypse. So don't panic. Don't panic, okay? I know when people hear that word, they immediately sort of, right, if you're slightly worried that I'm talking about the end of the world today, I'm not, okay? So if that's where your mind has gone, can you come back? Come back, please. Don't panic. That's not what we're talking about today. You see, biblical apocalypse means something very, very different. It's understandable you went there because that is where our culture has taken that word. If you looked it up in a dictionary, you'd find apocalypse means the end of the world, but that's not what it means in the Bible. And there are many moments of apocalypse in the Bible because the word actually means to uncover, to unveil, to reveal. That is what I want to look at today. Moments where God reveals, uncovers, unveils things. You know, at the beginning of this crisis, a young person spoke to me over the phone and said, Chris, is this the apocalypse? And at that time, my understanding was they were talking about the end of the world. They were. That's what they were asking. Is this the end of the world? And I said, honestly, I don't think so. And we looked at why and all those sorts of things, which we're not doing today. But as I kind of took that question away and looked a little bit more, and God began to speak to me about this whole idea of apocalypse, I wish I'd had a different answer for them. I wish I'd gone to them and said, if you're talking about the end of the world, then no, I don't think it is. But if you're asking me, is this a moment where God is uncovering things, where he's unveiling things, where he is revealing things to us, then yes. Yes, I think this is an apocalypse. This is a moment where God is unveiling things to us. And that's what I want to look at today. So that's the way we're going to use that word today. All right, so put all the other connotations out of your mind. Apocalypse means to unveil, to uncover. And we see it happen throughout Scripture, time and again. Obviously, our minds immediately go to Revelation. You know, but let's look at what actually is going on there, what's happening. What this apocalypse is, what this revelation is John on the Isle of Patmos is been exiled, and God takes him out of his situation with a vision. He shows him all these weird and wonderful things that we don't understand, but he would have understood a lot of what they meant. And then he puts them back. Then God puts him back to reinterpret the world, to share the message with the world. You know, we see it throughout scripture. Daniel, the same thing, Daniel 7, 8, 9. God, Daniel is in exile again. He's in exile. And God takes him out of his situation, shows him a heavenly perspective, reveals something to him, uncovers things to him, then puts him back to reinterpret his world. The same happens with Ezekiel. The same happens with Jacob. The same happens in many of the prophets' lives. And today, I want to explore that once again in the life of Saul and his Damascus Road experience. Because I believe we are in a moment of unveiling, of uncovering, where God is beginning to uncover big things and little things in our lives as a result of this crisis. Let me be very clear. I'm not saying he caused this crisis, but I'm saying, as always, he turns it to his good. And he is using this moment to unveil, uncover things for us. The danger is, well, there's two dangers. One, that we miss it. That we spend so long just trying to get through that we miss what God is trying to show us, uncover, unveil for us. And the second danger is that we ignore it. And as we begin to come out of lockdown, that one probably is the one we need to watch the most. But let's look at this Damascus Road experience. Saul is on his way to Tarsus, he's from Tarsus, on his way to Damascus. And he is, you know, we give Paul a bad rap, Saul a bad rap. Now, obviously, he's persecuting Christians. That's not good. All right, but you got to understand, Saul is passionate for God. Maybe overly passionate, but he's passionate for God. You know, he is trying to make sure that the Jewish people don't once again turn away from God and go the wrong way. You know, we've just looked at the story of Joshua, and we saw how the people of Israel followed Joshua through his life. They followed God through his life, but then just a few pages after, when we end up in Judges, they turn away. They start worshiping other gods, following other ways. If they had somebody like Saul, maybe they wouldn't have done. You know, Saul was desperate that they didn't do this again, and so he started trying to rid the world of what he perceived as a people trying to pull the nation away from God. Not in any way trying to justify what he did. He was a persecutor. He arranged the murders of many Christians. And on this story, he is on his way to Damascus to do the same. And in that, on that road, God breaks in. He breaks into his life and reveals something to him that fundamentally changes Paul's understanding of the universe. It's an apocalypse. And you may not be comfortable with that term yet. I know I still find it a bit weird, but actually it's exactly what Paul calls it. When we go to Galatians 1, we find in verse 11, he says, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." That word revelation in Greek is literally the word apocalypse. I received it by apocalypse from Jesus Christ. Paul has this apocalypse on the road to Damascus where God breaks into his life, stops him in his tracks, and reveals something to him that he couldn't see before. And the thing that he reveals to Saul is probably the greatest apocalypse any of us can ever have. The greatest unveiling, the greatest uncovering that I pray and hope you have experienced in your life. Because what is revealed to Saul in this moment is the identity of Jesus. That Jesus is the one he has been waiting for. Jesus is the Messiah. And if you this morning don't know who Jesus is, that you haven't had that apocalypse, that unveiling from God as to who Jesus is, then please, for a moment, and if you've experienced this, then forgive me for a moment, but if you've never had that uncovered to you, let me for a moment be an instrument of apocalypse this morning to tell you who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is God who took on human flesh for us, for you, for me, so that he would know everything that we go through, every temptation, every trial, every pain. He took on human flesh, leaving heaven. Can you imagine what that must have been like to leave heaven, to come here amongst the pain and sickness and darkness for us, to live a perfect life, and then to die a death, to live a life never separated from God until the moment he chose to take our separation, to take our failing, to act, take our wrongdoing, our pain, our sin on himself, and then destroy it. And then to rise again as the first one, but that we might follow him, that we might have a relationship with God that starts now and lasts forever. This is who Jesus is. This is the revelation that Saul had in this moment, the apocalypse he experienced, the identity of Jesus. And if this morning you have not yet discovered who he is, not yet had that uncovered, then please, please talk to one of us. Phone us. Phone the number at the end of the service. We would love to pray with you and help God and allow God to uncover Jesus' identity in your life. Paul, Saul, we think Paul changed his name, and it may well be, but actually one's Hebrew, Saul is Hebrew, Paul is Greek. So I'll use the same, use the two interchangeably, I'm afraid. But Saul's walking along the road, and then God breaks into his life, reveals this apocalypse. Apocalypse is unto him. He reveals the identity of Jesus, and it fundamentally changes Saul's world. You know, up to this point, he thought he was doing God's will. He was so zealous for God. He thought he was doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden, his whole world is shifted. All his actions are displayed in a new light. We read in the rest of the story, and thanks to Catherine for reading that. We read what happens next. He's struck blind. He goes, and then Ananias prays for him, and the scales fall off his eyes. But then what happens next? But it's not recorded for us in Acts, but in Galatians it is. We find out that then Saul goes. He doesn't just start working for the church. He goes to Arabia, and then he spends 3 years in Damascus, where he doesn't seem to do a whole lot. There's a whole set of time that's almost unaccounted for, that everyone, all the scholars seem to understand. What Saul is doing is completely reinterpreting his world based on what has happened, based on the fact that he is now known that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the one he's been waiting for. Everything he knew about the scriptures, and he knew lots, had to be reinterpreted based on what had been revealed to him. And a lot of the New Testament, a lot of these letters that we now read, they're the fruit of that time that Saul took to reflect, to reinterpret his world based on what God had revealed to him. But it then brings me to the question, what is God revealing to you? You know, each of us, I think, can feel in a kinship with Saul's experience here, walking down the road, and then suddenly everything changes. The world is different. We're stuck in our homes. People we see every day, we see rarely. We experienced that breaking moment. But what is God revealing to you in this time? It's very easy, I think, for us to miss it, because we just want to get through this time. But what is he revealing to you? I can't answer that question for you, but what I can implore you to do is take time. You know, Saul, I'm not saying go and spend 3 years in Damascus and do it, but I'm saying take some time, pray about this, ask God, and look at what's been going on, and ask, what is he revealing to you? What is he apocalypsing to you in this moment? I can't answer it for you, but I can share perhaps some of the things that he's been revealing to me. And I hope I'm not the only one that is experiencing these. But please take that time to do this. But for me, I've asked myself this question a number of times. And one of the things he's been revealing to me is just how much more time there is to pray than I thought there was. Don't get me wrong. You know, if you ask me, before all this happened, do you pray? Of course I do. I'm busy, but of course I take time to pray. But now I seem to be even busier at times, and I find there's more time to pray. And at times I'm too busy not to pray, to quote an old book. He's revealed to me that there's more time to pray than I ever thought there was. Not only that, but that my devotional life can be so much richer than it was before. There's so much stuff out there, so many ways of engaging with his word, so many ways of engaging with him that I have just ignored or forgotten or or he has used this time to reveal to me. I feel like he's revealed to me how much of a joy and a blessing and how amazing it was to be able to meet together. How incredible it was to have everyone here. He's revealed to me how precious family is. Whether it be our family close by, our family far away, or our family of the church, he's revealed to me how precious every one of those relationships is. But what has he been unveiling to you? I can't answer that question, but I beg you to take the time to ask it yourself and to ask it of him. But it doesn't end there, because I want to ask a question. What has he been unveiling to us? Us as a church, us as Eastleigh, us as a nation, us as humanity. What has he been revealing to us? You may have different answers, and that's fine. If you're taking the time to explore and see and look around, wonderful. But for me, I wonder if he's been revealing stuff about our environment, about how we can do something to do with our environment. So often we were hearing things about how climate change had gone too far, that we can't possibly pull it back. And then we go into lockdown and suddenly discover things that we thought impossible happen. I wonder if this area of injustice is something he's using this time to reveal to us, that we can do something about our environment. I wonder if he's been revealing to us that we thought we were so tolerant, we thought we understood equality, and now we discover that our nations, our countries, our societies are more racially divided and unjust than we thought they were. I wonder if he's used this time to reveal to us that there's something wrong with a system that when a crisis hits, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I'm not trying to put over a political manifesto here, but I look at this and I go, something's not right here. And I didn't realize it before. God, is this you unveiling, you apocalypsing, you uncovering things that you see are wrong and we missed? That while we may not have been a part of the problem, or maybe we were, we definitely weren't a part of the solution. What has God revealed to you in this time? And what do you believe he is revealing or has revealed to us? Don't miss it. Please, don't miss it. I'm still grappling with this question, but I implore you, I beg you, take time to be with God and ask him what he's teaching you. Don't miss it. But equally, and perhaps more importantly, at this moment in time, don't ignore it. You know, if you have seen these things, if God has laid on your heart and unveiled an area of injustice in the world, don't ignore it. It's going to be all too easy as we begin to ease lockdown to want to go back to the way things were. And part of me wants that. And I can't wait till you're all here again. And I can't wait till we can do all the things we used to do. But we must not ignore what he's been showing us. You know, William Wilberforce, the great abolitionist, said, "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never again say that you did not know." When we come out of this lockdown, we can choose to go back. We can choose to ignore all the things that we've been shown, but we can never again stand before God and say we didn't know they were there. I don't know about you, but while I'm desperate for things to go back, I can't ignore some of the things I've seen. Some of the things that I believe God has unveiled to us as humanity. So what do we do? What do we do with that? And that has been the thing that's been hurting my heart in the last few days or the last few weeks, is what do I do? Having seen these huge injustices, having seen the big things, what do I do to change it? And I would love right now to be able to pull over a flip chart and just give you a 5-point plan on how we can fix these injustices, but I can't. I don't know. So when I turn to scripture, I look for what God would you have us do? And the answer's not going to surprise you, but perhaps the language will. Because what I believe God is saying is that we are to be an apocalypse. Be an apocalypse. be an unveiling of God, to be a revelation of Jesus to those we meet, to those around us, to be his instrument of unveiling his plan, his goodness, his grace to those around us. It's what we were literally made for. When you go to Genesis, you find that we are made in the image of God. We were made to be a representation of what God looks like, an unveiling of God to creation. But not only that, we go to 2 Corinthians, we find that we are Christ's ambassadors. What is an ambassador if it is not a revelation of the one who sent them? We are meant to be his body. We are meant to be his family. We are meant to be an apocalypse to this world, revealings of Jesus to those around us, to the world around us. Living, breathing apocalypses. But how do we do that? You know, it's all very well and it's a beautiful image to be able to be an apocalypse, but how do we actually do that? Well, the beauty of this concept, the beauty of this word, is that it's not on us. We can't make an apocalypse happen. We can't make a revealing. We can't discover these things on our own. As with our salvation, as with so much, God has to take the first step. It is God that reveals things in apocalypse, not us. In Galatians again, in verse 15 and 16, Paul says, "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles." That word reveal, again, literally the word apocalypse. When God, who set me apart, was pleased to apocalypse his son in me. It is not on us. It is on him. It comes full circle to where Toby has been bringing us this morning in worship and where he brought us in his lesson from lockdown last week. That we need to be reliant on his spirit, not on ourselves. It is him that reveals. He reveals himself, but in us, through us. We need to place ourselves in the right place. That's all. We need to be willing to be obedient. We need to be choosing to rely on him and not on us. And in that, in there, he can use us, reveal himself to others through us, apocalypse himself in us. When we look at these huge areas of injustice that he has revealed in this time, whatever they might be that you have perceived, we aren't enough. We aren't going to be able to do something. But he is. He is able to do the impossible. He is able to do anything. And he is able to use us to bring about that change. Our role, our commission is to be close to him. Is to be not reliant on ourselves, but reliant on him. He keeps bringing us back to that place at the moment. And I wonder what he wants to do. So, my challenge to you today, church, this is what has been on my heart. And I pray it hasn't just been a ramble of what God has been saying but to me, but instead it's been helpful and prompted you. But let me ask you, please, please take time to ask this question. What has God been revealing to you in this time? What has he been revealing to us? Don't miss it. Don't ignore it. Be an apocalypse by choosing to be reliant on him and not yourself. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that in so much of our experience with you, you take the first step towards us. Lord, we want to be an apocalypse to those around us. We want to reveal you to those around us. Lord, we know that all these injustices, all these huge things in the world can be solved by people being close to you. Lord, we pray you would help us this week in our whole lives to be reliant not on ourselves, but to rely on you, to be obedient to where you are calling us to go. Lord, we thank you that you have been unveiling things to us in this time. Help us to see and help us to act at the leading of your Spirit. In Jesus' name.